ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
That's kind of the idea here. I'll kind of show you some of the advances that have been made with AI. Just watch this video. It's kind of interesting to me, the different technologies.
The newest robots, inventions and technologies of the future, and which is worth keeping an eye on in 2021. Get ready for the most interesting things from the world of high tech in today's One Issue. The first discoveries of this year are Samsung's home robots. The smart and dexterous bot Handy can determine what material an object is made of in order to calculate the force required to maneuver it. The robot can pick up laundry, load the dishwasher, set your table, pour wine, and even bring your drinks. Cameras on the robot's head and limbs are responsible for object recognition. For maneuvering and manipulation, only the robotic arm, which can rotate at 3 points, specifically in the shoulder, elbow, and wrist. The arm ends with a universal grip that works with objects of different sizes and shapes. The robot can move around the room on a platform, turn from side to side, and rise to reach higher objects. And for everyday cleaning, Samsung introduced the JetBot 90 AI Plus robot. It's a vacuum cleaner that uses LiDAR and 3D sensors to clean close to furniture and children's toys. The JetBot's internal camera can be used to monitor pets as well. A recent reality has been a Mole Robotics futuristic robot kitchen project. Not as futuristic as the concept, the robotic kitchen is already quite functional. The system is sold together with furniture and utensils as everything is adapted for optimal robotics work based on proven industrial manipulators. The specially designed gripper can not only use spatulas and ladles, but also, for example, crack eggs, use a blender, or turn on the water. The robot takes ingredients from human-prepared containers. But beyond that, the entire cooking process is fully automated. The robot was trained with the help of a camera recording the cooking process and its verbal description, breaking down the recipe into simple steps such as stir, flip, salt, makes it fairly easy to teach the robot new dishes. The Toyota Research Institute showed its version of home robots not so long ago. The company's engineers are trying to solve two problems: teaching robots to perform everyday tasks around the house, and to overcome the limitations imposed by the unpredictable environment of each individual home. The latter task is partly solved by Toyota's new robot hanging from the ceiling, but it's also unlikely to be implemented in the existing modest-sized Japanese dwellings. Rather, these are developments for future homes and apartments. Toyota is not saying much about the technology behind this robot, but it recently showed off its new lab, which was created to test this very robot. The Chinese Institute of Industrial Technology introduced this year the dual-arm robot system, a robotic system with two arms, the total number of joints at 29. This dexterous robot with 5 fingers and 7 degrees of freedom can easily manipulate objects of different shapes and sizes. And they're made of composite material, which makes the robot lightweight, yet durable. This year, Agility Robotics has seriously upgraded its humanoid robot, Courier Digit, making it completely self-sufficient. All you need to do now is tell the robot the route or the endpoint, and it will go where it needs to go, bypassing obstacles along the way. Digit is the world's first commercially available humanoid robot with 2 legs. Currently, the price is unknown, but it's rumored to have 6 figures. The robot can lift weights up to 18 kilograms, gently by bypassing people and interacting with other robots. Digit's main customer today is Ford. The company plans to use the robot for deliveries in conjunction with its unmanned car. The robot uses LiDAR and multiple cameras mounted on its torso to scan its surroundings and quickly detect obstacles. Now, from humanoid robots, let's move on to our four-legged friend robots. A new and rather unusual robot dog was introduced this year by Tencent. The robot dog, Max, uses the original leg and wheel connection scheme from Tencent Robotics X-Lab, which allows him to both walk on four legs and ride on wheels at 25 kilometers per hour. Tencent's software and hardware platform allows the robot to reach its surroundings and control its own balance, as well as plan actions with calculation delays of only 0.3 milliseconds. This robot can also stand up after falling down. Another novelty found was Chinese copy of the Boston Dynamics robot dog. The Weilane company introduced Alpha Dog Robot, which is able to move at speeds of up to 1 km per hour, move with 10 different gaits, and carry a load of up to 5 kilograms. The robot is also able to move autonomously, avoiding obstacles, maintaining balance, and getting up after a fall, and, according to the manufacturer, perform a number of other tasks using artificial intelligence. For example, serving as a guide for the blind, guarding homes, or patrolling a park. It's already sold 2,000 units at a price of just under $2,500. Boston Dynamics itself this year also introduced a couple of new products, specifically a brand new robot for warehouses named Stretch, and an updated version of the robot Spot with an incredibly nimble and smart robotic arm. We talked more about them in an issue about the company's robots, which you can find the link in the video description. An unusual four-legged novelty of the year was Hyundai's Tiger X1 robotic courier for hard-to-reach and remote locations. The robot is dropped off in the night area by drone and then rides on wheels and rises on its feet to step over obstacles if necessary. The top of the robot can easily be replaced with a refrigerator or regular box. The robot has only a prototype so far, but it seems that Hyundai is serious about this technology development and plans to bring to the market a commercial version. We couldn't cover this without mentioning this year's protagonist, the Martian drone Ingenuity. Although it's not exactly a robot, the vehicle opened a new milestone in the history of exploration of other planets, and it's definitely worth mentioning. The Mars drone has already made 4 autonomous flights in the thin atmosphere of the red planet, which is only 1% of Earth's atmosphere. It's not equipped with any scientific instruments, except a laser altimeter, a gyro stabilizer, and video cameras. One camera is responsible for navigation, i.e. determining location, directions, and speed. The second camera is a 13-megapixel color camera, and it takes pictures on the surface of Mars. Helicopter communication with Earth is carried out through the rover. The mass of Ingenuity on Earth is 1.8 kilograms, and on Mars, about 0.7 kilograms. The helicopter is lifted by air by 2 propellers, each 1.2 meters long and weighing only 35 grams. They are made of carbon fiber and covered with solar panels for recharging the drone. A pair of parallel-mounted propellers rotates in opposite directions around the common axis at about 2,300 to 2,900 revolutions per minute. By comparison, terrestrial helicopters make about 500 revolutions per minute. Earth-based robotics have made their mark this year as well. Carbon Robotics unveiled a robot for destroying weeds with a laser. This autonomous robot uses computer vision, a powerful lighting system that allows the robot...
I want to stop that there for a second. Or not for a second. I think that was enough of that. But I thought it was interesting. I don't know if I spend that much money on getting a robot that does the dishes and sets the table. That's why I had kids. So I don't know. And the dog one... it leaves batteries all over the place, so that's not good either. If they could walk your dog and clean up after it, I would get one because my wife loves dogs, and I told her I don't want to be 70-some years old cleaning up dog poop, so that's why we don't have a dog. But anyway, look at this technology. And again, I don't think on a mass scale we're going to see this transhumanism, but I think that's what we're going to see probably with this image of the beast. I think that may be the start of it. And by the time we get to the halfway mark of the tribulation period, maybe more and more people are getting this transhumanism because they can't be saved if they've taken the mark of the beast. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. It is interesting, though. The other thing, and maybe you guys recognized, do you guys know what movie that was from? Minority Report. Where Tom Cruise is working as, I think he's a police officer, they're able with these computers to predict who's going to commit a crime in the future so they could be arrested before they commit the crime. Now, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But think about it. The Pentagon wants AI to predict events before they occur. Wow. That's Minority Report. I mean, really, what could go wrong with that? Well, watch the movie and find out, because, yeah, a lot of things could go wrong. But this is what we're told. What if, by leveraging today's artificial intelligence, predict events several days in advance, countries like the United States could simply avoid warfare in the first place? The tests were designed to occur in phases, each demonstrating the current capabilities of three interlinked AI-enabled tools called Cosmos, Latus, and Gaia. Gaia provides real-time situational awareness for any geographical location, comprised from many different classified and unclassified data sources, massive volumes of satellite imagery, communication data, intelligent reports, and a variety of sensor data. Latus offers real-time threat tracking and response options. Cosmos allows for strategic and cloud-based collaboration across many different commands. Together, these decision tools are supposed to anticipate what adversaries will do ahead of time, allowing U.S. military leaders to preempt the actions of adversaries before kinetic conflict arises and deny them any perceived benefits from taking any predicted actions. That's creepy to me. That's Big Brother. I mean, think about it. For me, you know, if you know me and you're on my Facebook page, you know what I post on Facebook. I always put Bible verses on there, and now I'm putting our video studies from YouTube on there. That's pretty much what I have on there. Sometimes there's some family pictures. But they have all that data. Would I, down the road, be a threat? Very possibly. Because I am not conforming to what the government is saying. I'm believing what God says. So it is interesting, you know. I look at the science fiction movies, and I see the things that they have in them, and I look at what we have today. Remember the Dick Tracy cartoon where he would talk into his watch? Yeah, now we've come there. Look at all the technology that's out there. And again, the book 1984, George Orwell, with Big Brother. Big Brother is watching, make no mistake about it. Everything we do, they're aware of. And again, they track this stuff because they're looking for terrorists. So there's key phrases that they're looking for. You know, you use the word bomb, you know, Joe bombed last night or whatever. That's a key phrase, and so they'll check it out because you use the word bomb. There's key phrases that they look for on social media to make sure that nothing's going on that they're going to miss. What was science fiction in Minority Report is getting closer to be a reality today. To give you an idea where surveillance is going, look at the size of that. I find that interesting. This is a winged microchip, and it's as small as a grain of sand, and it can be carried by the wind, and it monitors things as pollution levels or the spread of airborne diseases. It doesn't have a motor, the designers looked at maple trees free-falling propeller seeds, and they felt, well, yeah, if it's light enough, the winds can carry this in many directions. And they could see their surrounding environments, collect information. The scientists say they could potentially be used to monitor for contamination, follow populations, or even track diseases. Yeah. I mean, you get enough of those little ones floating around, absolutely. So they're watching you. And I know this stuff can be pretty scary, and I realize people listening on the radio are just going to hear the music. But here's a little fun. You may not like the music, but maybe you'll enjoy the show. Hang on. Here we go.
You broke my heart 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down. Do you love me? I can really move. Do you love
dance is better than me, okay? Isn't that crazy? I mean, and they're just playing around here. This is not something that they're using for anything. They're just playing around. And look at what these robots are able to do. I mean, they'll do flips and stuff. They're able to calculate if there's a box that they need to jump on top of. They will calculate how high they need to jump to get on top of that. That is crazy when you think about how they come to these conclusions. They're not being told to do this. They're thinking about it. They're evaluating how high that box is and how high they have to jump then. So it's pretty amazing when you look at that technology. Well, next I want to look at something that is very dear to my heart, Israel in the Middle East. We don't hear a lot about it today, but there is a major war that is being prepared to break forth anytime. The players are Israel and Iran, and then I think Russia and many other Muslim nations are going to join in. It's a war of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel's 38 and 39. This war is coming. And I'll kind of set the stage for what's taking place by telling you what's happened. You know, back in 1948, the state of Israel was born, and David Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister and minister of defense in Israel, look at what he said. Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled, and the nation Israel is hearing the footsteps of the Messiah. What's Ezekiel 37? Ezekiel 37 is the dry bones coming to life. Israel is coming back to life. They become a nation again, and not a divided nation with a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. They are one nation, as Ezekiel 37 tells us. But you know what comes after Ezekiel 37? Ezekiel 38. I was just checking to see if you guys were aware of that. But Ezekiel 38 and 39 are the war of Gog. And that's what we're moving towards, guys. I think it's getting close. The players in this war are, first of all, Gog. The name Gog means ruler or man on top. This is the dictator of the land of Magog. And I'll deal with the dictator in a few minutes, but keep in mind that in Ezekiel 38, we're told that this group of people that are going to come down and invade Israel are from the far north, or the uttermost parts of the north. And I believe this is the area known as Russia today. If you draw a line from Israel northward, you run into Moscow. Also, you have to understand that Russia is spread out over 6,000 miles, 11 time zones. And it's so interesting because Rabbi Chaim said the following in the mid-19th century. When you see the Russian army begin to move southward and enter Turkey, put on your Sabbath garments and get ready to welcome the Messiah. I'm blown away by that. I know God knows what's going to happen ahead of time, but doesn't it blow you away, the accuracy of these things? Put on your Sabbath garments and get ready to welcome the Messiah. The interesting thing is, the one they're preparing to receive, Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name, you've rejected me. Another's going to come in his own name, and him you're going to receive. They're going to receive the Antichrist at first. They're going to think he's the Messiah. He is their Savior. He's going to restart the temple sacrifices again, allow them to rebuild the temple. And at the halfway mark, when the Antichrist enters the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped of God, the Jews are going to recognize this is not the guy. And they are going to flee, many of them, to the rock city of Petra, as Jesus told them in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, to flee to the mountains. And that's exactly what they're going to do. The prince of Rosh is probably better translated, the chief prince of Meshach. Meshach was the sixth son of Japheth and associated with modern Turkey, probably eastern Turkey. Tubal is probably part of Turkey as well. Persia is Iran. Ethiopia, or Cush, translated both ways in the Bible, referring to Black Africa, probably covers two-thirds of the African continent, with the other one-third being the upper portion. Libya, or Put, is speaking of the upper part of Africa, and from the midpoint westward, reaching from Libya to Mauritania, Algeria, Tunisia, and Morocco. So Turkey, again, Africa's playing a role. Gomer, some say it's Germany. I think it's north-central Turkey. It makes more sense. Targama, And these people said it in the area of modern-day Turkey and Turkestan. Could be speaking of the five republics that broke off from the Soviet Union years ago when communism broke up. Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. Could be those two as well. And what do these nations have in common? What are their religious beliefs? Islam. That's the big thing for them. And Russia is going to be drawn into this battle. And look at them. They're already together. Iran, Persia, Russia, Magog, Turkey, Gomer. This is Ezekiel 38 and 39 coming together. Turkey was an ally with Israel not that long ago. And many believe, well, how's Turkey going to be part of this? Maybe we're reading this wrong. Maybe it's not Turkey that they're speaking of. And Turkey has turned against Israel and wants Israel destroyed. So they are coming together. And what's going to draw Russia into this war? Some say it's their rich oil deposits in Israel, and that's possible. I think it's a war that starts maybe with Iran. In Syria, Iranian-backed Hezbollah has 150,000 missiles pointed at Israel. Can you imagine if Mexico had 150,000 missiles aimed at us, what we would do? They would be destroyed. And the world comes against Israel for trying to defend itself. And I think if Syria launches a missile, any missiles that are deadly into Israel, I think Israel is going to destroy Damascus. It's interesting because listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 17:1, the burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and it will be a ruinous heap. That hasn't happened. Damascus is one of the oldest lasting cities that's ever been around. But it needs to be destroyed. Syria, if we go back, if they launch missiles into Israel, and they can, who knows what they have from Russia, Damascus is done. And again, think about this. Russia's flexing their muscle. Why? Because who's going to stop them now? There's no one in office that's going to do it. And Putin understands that. And because of that, he's got 92,000 soldiers of the Red Army with tanks and other military machinery on the border with the Ukraine. He wants the Ukraine back. And they're preparing, positioning themselves for a battle. Is it going to happen? I don't know. In a report, it says the Kremlin is preparing for an attack by the end of January, beginning of February. Wow. Can you imagine them getting involved in that war? Putin is definitely watching how Iran is getting closer and closer to developing nuclear weapons. And what's the purpose of them developing nuclear weapons? Why does Iran want to develop nuclear weapons? There's only one reason: to destroy Israel and every Jew living in Israel. That's their goal. Now, believe me, most of the people in Iran don't want to be bothered with that. They are not against Israel. But the government, the religious leaders, are very much opposed to destroying Israel. Israel knows they have to take out these nuclear facilities. They've done it in the past. When President Obama was in office, Israel sent a virus into their computer system working with the centrifuges developing this stuff and destroyed it. And President Obama said Israel did this, gave them up. So I don't think Israel's going to tell us what they're going to do anymore. But listen to how they're preparing, because they understand Iran's going to strike them. They know it's a matter of time that once they get a nuclear weapon, it's coming into Israel. Israeli Defense Minister Gantz, Israel is ready to strike Iran. That was from August 7th. Why Israel is stepping up its planning and its rhetoric for a strike on Iran. That was October 1st. Israel approves $1.5 billion for Iran's strike plan. That was October 19th. Likud MK, Israel must strike Iran by year's end if there's no new deal. This one, Hangbi, says opposition party will give full backing if government decides to attack Tehran's nuclear program. Wow. That is, again, October 31st. Israel has military capability to strike Iran, an ex-IDF intel chief, November 5th. Iran nuclear program, threat of Israel strike grows, BBC, November 23rd. Ex-Mossad chief says Israel strikes on Iran nuclear sites must be on the table. That was November 26th.
To the teaching of God's way. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.